I'm Francesca Alexander, ex-Los Angeles makeup artist turned online marketer who now lives in Auckland, New Zealand. I teach small business owners profitable, actionable steps to build highly engaged social media results. We build SEO and social media systems with ease. It's truly a collaboration. Welcome to the Hustle and Glow podcast. Did you ever think, okay, this is my year, this is my moment, I'm going to go tackle it? Well, in today's episode, we're going to go over why you are still exhausted. Did you actually take some time off and rest at the end of the year? Coming up, we're going to be talking about the effects on different types of levels of your business or your career and how you can recover and reset. Hey everyone, I am Francesca Alexander and welcome to the Hustle and Glow podcast, where we talk about business and how life affects you and all the things that can help, I guess, obstacles that are in your business and just trying to make it a little bit easier. In today's episode, I really wanted to talk about the process of resetting, recovering, and resting before you jump back into your business. Now, usually it might be a little bit weird for Americans. It's like, hello, it's the end of January, early February when you're listening to this. Why do you need someone to tell you, oh, you just came back into work? Well, I will tell you, I am living in Auckland, New Zealand, and you might even hear in the background right now, there's a lot of rain going on. Unfortunately, we're going through a devastating rain season where it's actually eroding a lot of the neighborhoods around me. So I thought still it was important to stay on topic and rest. And also too, if you are listening in Auckland, I have some resources in the bottom of the description that may help you. Or if you're outside of New Zealand, you can click through these resources as well and see what you can do to help provide relief for those who are affected by the rainstorms this season. So getting back into this particular episode, talking about resting and recovering, in the beginning, before any of this was happening in my environment of all the rainfall and all the chaos, just before I went into holiday Christmas, usually what happens here in New Zealand is that people sort of let go and they enjoy their summer, because it's summer here in this part of the hemisphere of the world. And one of the things that is always hard for me and very challenging for me, and I think I've wrote numerous, probably every year I write about, you know, it's so, like, it's like it's a phenomenon. Like, oh my God, they take this whole time off. And the reason is, it's very similar to the Western part of the world. If it is in June, July, August, we most likely will let go or have summer break or have a week off or whatever. And it, by the way, a week off is big. 2 weeks off is a wow, you know what I mean? And so that will happen sometimes if people can actually take time off. That is the process. Here in New Zealand, it is normal to take 3 weeks off at the very least, 21 days, so they can sort of rest and reset, recover from everything that's happening in, like, you know, just the year, the whole year. And so what happens with that is that people are a little bit more burnt out than the rest of the world because we're waiting to the end of the year to do that. It's really hard to get a grasp this year on what the weather is doing, which I feel like the rest of the world is doing the same thing. Like, I've just been observing and seeing that, like, oh, this weather's not normally us. And I'd like to, not that I've been here under 10 years slightly, but it just feels like this wet season's a bit more extreme and things are a little bit different. So with all of the added stuff that's going on in your environment, before I left, also with going on holiday personally, I had to let go of a friend that I thought was a really good friend, but noticed that he was very controlling. And I had to let go. He was just, numerous boundaries were crossed and a lot of untruths were happening. So I just had to let go of that relationship, that friendship. And that was really hard for me because I really like connecting at a deep and personal level with people, you know, to get friendships, to get that sort of entrepreneurial sort of internal, not a mastermind, but just a friendship circle, really, of people that are there that really root for each other. And that was pretty hard for me to let go, but I knew it was time, you know. And this Maya, as Maya Angelou would say, you know, when people show who they are, trust and believe, I'm paraphrasing, trust and believe, that is exactly who they are. And so I have, and I've let that go. The other thing that was really challenging for me is that I had a client that was just did not have any boundaries, and he called the week of Christmas while I was away in Wellington and was just really invasive, argumentative, didn't want to pay his December bill because he wanted to talk then and now about why the bill was happening, like the last 6 months weren't even in existence. And it was really challenging. I mean, we decided that we're not going forward with this client in January. But it was just one of those things where all of this accumulation, right, of just stress and, quite frankly, bullshit that you have as a business owner, can really just sort of get you off kilter. And I think that when I went into it, I couldn't work, and I sort of snapped into a lot of the basic toxicity pieces where you're like, oh, I got to work to prove myself that I'm worthy of having this business. I have to work a little bit more to show this client that I'm in, you know, fight and flight with, actually, that I can demonstrate that we do have a value and that we're providing value. All of this nonsense was happening, and I just couldn't rest. I couldn't let go. I couldn't do any of it. There are some cool resources that I came upon while I was dealing with all of this. And oddly enough, and I would venture to say, because we are all of different experiences, different backgrounds, it's this type of scenarios, or scenarios in general, are going to affect women in business differently. And I say that with love and understanding that my experience is going to be different from an African American woman's experience. My experience is going to be totally different from maybe an Asian Pacific Islander experience. So I'm saying that with love, because I feel like we all come with different expectations, different sort of colorism issues. It's just a lot. And I say that because if you are Caucasian and you're listening to this, I want you to also be aware that there is complexity within complexity. Although your experience may be harsh and hard, there are different levels and layers if you're a woman of color. So it's almost like, hey, yeah, you got this sort of scenario, but we also have some other baggage that comes with it that we have to sort of detoxify ourselves, our bodies, our minds, so we can go forward. And I want to acknowledge that here with this podcast. It's exactly, I think, about a year ago, or maybe even a little longer, I noticed that the social unrest was bringing up with me a lot of toxicity, a lot of things that I had shoved down and not really listened to within my body and my mind to really harness and take ownership of, oh, okay, I see, because I've been affected this way, I need to take these certain steps to detoxify. And not a lot of people are going to understand it. And quite frankly, I don't want to have a bag of receipts to show people and demonstrate that I am going through this process. I don't want to be able to always fight with an argument of, yeah, this has affected me this way. And a lot of it is the detoxification of, oh gosh, just a number of things, not only racism, but, like, you know, I always say, like, I'm always going through like this decolonization process, this sort of corporate greed, capitalism, detoxification that has been with my generation, Generation X. I have learned it, and it was solidly beat into me. And the difference, I think one of the points of difference with my particular generation is that we carried it on. We would use it and say, this is our work ethic. When younger generations are saying, no, it's not a work ethic. It is a way to exploit you as a person and your talent and I'm not going to take it anymore. And so again, this is why I love the younger generation, Gen Z, millennials. They are onto it while Gen Z has put up with it. And so while Gen Z has put up with it, the toxicity level and the self-awareness is not always there. However, I want to be able as a Gen Zer to really reach out to those who are younger and have you guys understand there are some of us here that are aware and that really want to be able to forge a future ahead, and having the understanding that usually the older generation holds those spots of power. I am in true collaboration with wanting to do that with younger generations. So what does this have to do with resting and refocusing and recover? Because what I really was able to understand through this whole process, and this is me just being a total nerd, and I own it, is that when you are like me, I research why can't I rest? First, it's on the phone, right? Like, why is it that you can't take vacation off as an American? And I just kept on like literally just going into that rabbit hole of why I could not rest. Why can I not reposition myself? Why can't for just one day turn everything off and read a book? I couldn't do it because I just kept getting back to, well, somebody's got to take care of the business. Somebody's got to go ahead and be responsive to these emails. Somebody has to do it. And there were certain things that I let go this year that I should have implemented what I did last year. Last year, I notified all my clients and let them know, hey, our office is going to be shut these hours. And in New Zealand, that is a clear, okay, gotcha, and move on. No, there's no guilt with it because they're taking it that time off too. It's an understanding that we are off collectively. And I would imagine it would be the same for the Italians in August, right? Like, oh yeah, we don't work in August. We're off on holiday. We're resting in August. And everybody in Italy is like, yeah, gotcha, me too. Like, we're no one's gonna be pushed, there's no pushback within other businesses in Italy because people have that understanding. August is done. It's too hot to work. We just need to spend time with family. We are resting. It's mid-year, more than mid-year. We need a rest. Okay, got it. But if you were to tell that to an American, I very distinctly remember me working at Nordstrom, and in August we have this. Well, actually, there's a sale. There's a yearly sale that happens in August, and it's not the half yearly sale. And I forget anniversary sale. It's the anniversary sale. And one of the things that was like a big thing is that we would make Italian vendors. We would try to get all these Italian goods in. And at the time, I was working in accessories and all these leather goods and all these beautiful accessories from Italy, sunglasses, all the rest of it. We could not get in on time because they're out. They're out on holiday. So we were scratching our heads like, what do you mean? You don't want to do business with us? And the buying team was just like completely out of their mind, while the Italians were just, fine with their lot in life and their decisions to take that time off. And that was really strange for me, but also I was really secretly jealous. How can you create that kind of boundary and be unapologetic? That's amazing. I wish that we were able to do that more. You know what I mean? And it's never happened to me. I would take holiday off, honeymoon off. Oh gosh, I've been sick. You're sick and you just have to take off. There's always been pushback in American corporate, I guess, sort of mechanisms where they're like, yeah, whatever. Sorry you're going through that, but can you get back in? Can you get back in the office? When are you going to get back in? I need you to be here. Yeah, I'm really sorry you're going through that, but you need to be in the office. All of that nonsense would happen and it would just drive me insane. And I think that when I moved here, I was like, well, that stuff's got to go out the window. But I am self-imposing those types of, I guess, hours, work, availability still on myself. So it has been one of those deeper dives. And I have to say, I am so grateful that I actually found a book, and I'm quickly going through my notes because it's crazy. I think that it's just been something that I've been listening on Audible, in particular this book called Rest is Resistance by Tricia Hersey, and it has been absolutely just mind-blowing. And what I love about it is that it really starts to dissolve what people of color have gone through for generations, centuries, on the expectation, exploitive expectation of work, and dismantling what the effect is on our body and our souls, and how we have to reclaim back what rest is. And rest in itself is a part of the process of true resistance. And that was amazing for me. So with that said, and we'll circle back with a couple of other books that I think were really helpful for me to just break down. Now, as a business owner, I will be completely upfront. I have to work to make sure that all the gears are always working. But what I've been doing is I've been trying to put in high quality, lots of dense time where I'm either completely offline and really trying to just sort of be me and be with that space. And a lot of it for me was either reading, or walking and audiobooking at the same time, which really got me away from all of that. So here's a couple of takeaways that I've really just kept on honing in on, and I felt like I needed to talk to you about. So, one of the things is that while you're going through every year, I think in the beginning of the year, a lot of us will reassess, like, is this job that I'm in, is it worth going forward? Should I start looking for other jobs? That also has, that's a huge space in place here for that too. The difference here between New Zealand is that people are willing to like leave the country, leave your country. Could you imagine if you're an American and you're like, yeah, I need to get a job. I'm gonna look in Germany. Like it's like, yeah, like a no big deal, right? Like it's a regular thing. Well, it is a regular thing for Kiwis where they're thinking about, oh yeah, I think I'm gonna go ahead and just start a new career, or I'm gonna work at an agency. Let me look to see what's happening in Australia, the UK. Let me see what's going on in Canada. Like that's a regularity that's always happening. So we're actually losing good people that we can be using that kind of talent. And here to go abroad and get paid more and live bigger. Now, what I have to say about that is that, that is still the same situation in the US where people are going, yeah, not really happy here. I think I'm going to jump ship, go to another place and work. And look, I'm 20 grand more. It's higher. I'm going to feel more valued. This is going to be amazing. They're going to understand work and life balance a little bit more. I'm going to be able to work remote. All of these things are so important. I've talked about this before. We need to honor the people that work with us and make sure that whatever environment is they need, we need to actually embrace that so that we can actually have people that work with us. That's the bottom line. So while you're deciding and while you're thinking, really think about what your dream job is and write it down. Write it down so if you have a deep and meaningful conversation with your manager or business owner, you can really say, hey, I like working with you. If you do, if you don't, that's okay too. But this is, it's good to share goals with the people that you work with. Like, hey, this is exactly what I'm looking for in the future. And you could just leave it at that, whether it's with them or somewhere else. You said future, so they can help you determine if the future is with them or is it somewhere else. But it's really important to write down everything. I think one of my joys in life is so silly, but I love, in fact, I'm doing that now. I am doing laundry and doing this podcast while I'm listening to the rain outside. So doing laundry for me or cleaning the house in between just to get off my desk is something that I feel really grounded in doing. I don't know why. It just is. If I had a little doggy, I would be so excited that I could stop in the middle of the day and walk the dog on the beach and then, come back in. So I just, what does it mean for you? What does that look like for your future work environment? Because, and I want to say this, because we spend so much time in our work mode that those hours are a part of your life. They're a part of who you are. We can't pretend that it's anything other than. And the people and the, what I call them, corporate monsters, I think, what was it, Chase Bank, when it was telling all those people that were working abroad and people actually moved out of New York, like, oh, well, you need to come back in the office on Monday or you don't have a role, or, we need to justify paying you these prices for a New York-based job. And that was just horrible, insensitive from a company that is having surplus amounts of just corporate money coming in on the backs of their people. It's appalling. So this is the time where we really have to look at, what does my work life look like? Because it is, work can be a lifestyle, depending on how you frame it. It can be. We try to do that here, and particularly with my team. If my team, if somebody in my team said, hey, I can't do that meeting in an hour because I don't feel very well, oh my gosh, yes, we can reschedule, because there is such a thing as recording your screen and talking about a client and going through a process or a project, recording the screen and yourself. There is Loom. You can use the Loom product if you don't know what I'm talking about. But we've done it for years. Asana has a built-in record screen and record you at the same time, which I think is brilliant. These are the things that are meaningful for your clients. I mean, clients. I think that's really telling that I'm calling my people that I work with clients, because you are in a place of service. You have to be if you want to keep them. But it is important for us to continuously do that. It also, we just need to levy out the toxicity in our lives. I'm sorry, but can we just, the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, we've all been through it. We just need to be friendly and kind to each other as much as we possibly can. And that includes in the workplace. And the people that get it, get it. And the people that don't are not going to really forge ahead and forward, go forward. I mean, Microsoft just this week had announced these huge things of layoffs. But before, they were all partying with Sting, I forget where, and it spent this huge amount of excess on these top-tier executives. And then in the very next day, they went ahead and released, I don't know, a number of people in jobs because, quote-unquote, they just didn't have the funding available for to continue on with some of these roles. And what it was is that they were just profit gouging. That's exactly what it was. So not that I'm trying to push you all into entrepreneurship. However, I will say this, your needs, your skills, your skill set, your way to actually be agile and be able to go online and produce stuff and on deadlines that are reasonable and be your own boss is absolutely, I think, is going to be the future. And the globalization of Americans in general are going to be amazing. I see people now that are just working everywhere around the world. And that's the thing. I think that we're going to create that type of future together where we're just going to be working around the world. It's going to be very interesting. I think that although this is a very hard time in our lives, it's going to be a very exciting one because we are the pioneers that actually decide how our lives are going to be going forward in our career. So that's something that's really, truly valuable. So one of the huge takeaways that I've been looking at as part of the rest is that setting boundaries is absolutely essential. Whether you're an early part of career, your first year in business, setting boundaries around your clients, understanding boundaries with your team, what works for them. Are they, you know, an introvert? Are they an extrovert? How do they really like to work? What does their ideal work week look like? I mean, that's something that I've imagined with my team, and it could be like, you know, there might be a really great sunny day happening and that you just want to knock off work and not, you know, walk around on the beach or just, you know, go read a book on the beach, or, you know, it's too cold and you want to stay in, or you want to go to a movie, whatever it is that is more high rate vibrational towards your creative. And there's more day. Some people just love working at night to really get that creative juices flowing. It does it really matter if everything's due on a Thursday? No. So you can self schedule what you need to do as long as it's due on Thursday. That's the type of role I wanted to create within my business for people that are working with me, so that they can, we had such an incredible person that we worked with that was able to work from Scotland. And then I believe she went to Switzerland. She went to UK. I met her here in New Zealand, but she's from the UK. She just sort of like, you know, globetrotting all over and just telling me where she was. And we had this Zoom link that was in her time zone. And then we would just meet up and talk. And that's ideal. That's exactly what we want to be able to do. That was her thing. That was her journey. That's what she wanted to do. So that was really important to honor. And I think that that's part of the resting, right? So if we know that we have scheduled in time for resting and letting go of work, we're able to come back and be more creative, be truly happy to be in your work environment, because where else can something like this afford you getting paid and also working with people that you truly, really like? That's the other thing. That was the other breakthrough for us for about 2 years ago. We had fired all clients that we didn't like. All the ones that were just awful and that would really just drive us crazy and were being, at some point, I think we had one client that was just really not only argumentative, but just really tacky and awful to us and just was really disrespectful. And we just looked at each other and went, just, no, this isn't worth it. I don't care if they're a good paying client and we have more than one account with them. It doesn't matter. We're done. We're done because the exhaustion actually eats away and corrodes your business faster than anything that can actually bring down your business is a bad client. So we just went, all right, we're going to let them go. Instead, we're going to have a new business model where we genuinely like working with clients that we like talking to, that we like hanging out with, that we like being with, that we understand their cause, and that we'll do everything that we can for them and really bring out a great pathway for them to achieve their goals that they want to. And that was more refreshing. And that was really, we're coming from a place of service for them, but really they were giving us back with some great energy and some great work fluidity and some really cool, feelings back and forth. That mutual respect was amazing. And so that's kind of the pathway that we're going now. So if anybody should actually fall out of that, then we respectfully let that person go because we're no longer a natural fit. So knowing what a natural fit is so, optimum in terms of like, okay, well, part of this rest, recovery, reset thing, which quite frankly has to happen a lot more than what you're admitting to. Because it might be where it's a Thursday and you're like, I am so exhausted, I want to cry. And that is a point where you come home, you might even have a small argument with somebody in your family or your partner, and that you just want to burst in tears because you're overwhelmed. That is your cue that you need to rest and reset. And so because of that, we need to sort of just be aware, just observe of exactly how you need to do that. For some people, it's taking a long run. For some people, it is about going to, I used to love going to the gym. And then there was this rain, the soft rain shower. It's like a mist. I love that at the end. And I needed that just to like recover. And so whatever it is that your thing is, a bath, a long bath, candles, whatever it is, really be in tune with that. Know that you need to shut it off. Get those boundaries up and running around your family members and friends going, yep, I'm in reset mode, but I will get back to you when I can. Understanding your limitations is really, really valuable for your body. And that's something that's really super important. So getting back to where I said I was going to get back to some of those resources, let's do that now. Rest is resistance. Trisha Hersey, this is something that is so powerful. And if you're a woman of color, this really helps you alleviate and acknowledge your journey. it's so amazing. And it's just been really, really great. I'm also looking to say there is a bit of a manifesto here, and it really just encourages people to connect by liberating yourself and the power of rest. So this is really, really transformational. I can't recommend this book enough. There's some other go-to books that I've mentioned before in podcasts that I really think is amazing to sort of revisit, because these are the ones that center me. So if I am going crazy and I am either going to another client in between clients or going in between work days or trying just to walk it off, these are the go-to sort of books that I put in my my audiobooks that I listen to a lot. And a lot of it is the work that Kate Northrup does. In particular, her book, Do Less, is the most transcending book that helps me just know that it's okay to take that time and walk away from the desk. And it's called Do Less, A Revolutionary Approach to Time and Energy. And it talks about even how to break down time and how it's a concept and it's not necessarily real, but what can grow is really the appreciation for your body first and the business second. So it's just been something that's been really good. And especially for somebody that, I probably have the same sort of health challenges that a lot of American women do, but the difference between the American woman and the woman from New Zealand is that they're quite focused on health a bit more than what Americans are. And so they're much more physically active. They understand that it's time for you to get out and walk. And it's been very encouraging for somebody that I mean, I'm from Los Angeles, like we don't walk, we drive. So it's just, you know what I mean? Or we walk to be seen at, you know, on Laurel Canyon. It's just like, it cuts the bullshit and it makes you just sort of think about what is important in your body. And that's why one of the things I love about Kate Northrup's work is that it just connects you back to what's important. With that said, I also love, love, love Denise Duffield Thomas's book, Chill and Prosper. And Chill and Prosper has had a little bit of a revolutionary cycle. It used to be called the book used to be called something else. And then she sort of just rewrote it and gave it a new title, Chill and Prosper. But it is the book where if I get freaked out with a client, or I'm not sure if I'm going to get that, you know, where's the money coming from? Oh my God, I have all of these expenses. This is the book where I just push play and I relax. And I remember distinctively thinking I was in this like little, sort of like this little whirl of like, oh my God, taxes are coming up. All of these expenses are coming up. How am I going to meet payroll? How am I going to be able to do this? And then I was listening to Denise and Chill and Prosper, that book, on this little Tamaki Drive bus. And I was on the bus into the beach of Tamaki Drive was there. And I was just sort of trying to like not stress out and listening to her words, assuring me that when you do what you do and you're putting in the work, the money will come, relax. And I'm simplifying it, and she shows you different mindset changes about money, and it's a bit more complex. And there's a definitely great mythology with it that absolutely I would say, like, anytime that you get really worked up about money, do or read anything that is Denise Duffield Thomas. She will alleviate that stress, and that's exactly what you need at this time. Books call to you and fall out. And, you know, if you're like what I used to do, I had this favorite bookstore in Pasadena, and I used to live right next door to it. It was Romans. And I would cross the street, at the time there was a coffee shop connected with it. And I would get my Zally latte, and then I would go into Romans. And I love this bookstore. Even I was back in November, I went into this bookstore, and it still is magic, where you can walk through any aisle, and a book will magically pop out and find you. You don't even have to look for books in that store. It is like a Harry Potter craziness where books will jump out and find you. And this is where I discovered Denise Thomas, Denise Duffield Thomas's books. And the funny thing is that I actually met her in 2012, but for some reason, I never really got her books, but this one just sort of jumped out. I remember doing that. And then that was it. That was for me in the cycle of books and buying and purchasing and feeling really empowered when you do is incredible. It was great, but gratitude at the same time. So that's why that real weird word just happened. I get really excited about stuff like this, but it was just, I was so grateful to have these type of books. They're kind of like my little arsenal. When things get to be a little bit too heavy, a little bit too crazy, go to these three books, depending on how you're feeling, what is resonating for you, what is that surface, you know, thing that's really bothering you. That right book is with you that you can just plug into your earbuds. And just even if you're walking around the house and you just need quiet time, and you know, you live with somebody else, and sometimes noise is not, it's noisy in the house. I usually do this. I just plug it in, put the earbuds on and then just do me. And a lot of that time is, that's actually a part of rest. I don't need to be sleeping always to have rest, but I can do other things to have rest, including Pilates, reading a book, working quietly sometimes, with the door closed, but not really working. You know what I mean? Just sort of reflecting and journaling. That is a time when also it helps me rest. So think about those things. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what your experiences are with any of these books, or if you just have anything to chat about. I'm going to go ahead and put in my contact information on the description below. I hope you're well. I'm so excited to be back in, as they say here in New Zealand, put your feet underneath your desk. I'm here. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to hear and see you on the next podcast.